Turn with me to the 16th chapter of Mark's Gospel. I won't read it all tonight. In this translation, there are 20 verses. When the Sabbath was passed, Mary Magdalene, Mary the mother of James, and Salome brought spices that they might come and anoint him. Very early in the morning on the first day of the week, they came to the tomb when the sun had risen. And they said among themselves, "Who will roll away the stone from the door of the tomb for us?" When they looked up, they saw the stone had been rolled away, for it was very large. And entering the tomb, they saw a young man clothed in a long white robe sitting on the right side, and they were alarmed. And he said to them, "Do not be alarmed. You seek Jesus of Nazareth, who was crucified. He is risen. He is not here. See the place where they laid him. But go your way, tell his disciples and Peter that he's going before you into Galilee. There you will see him as he said to you." And they went out quickly and fled from the tomb, for they were troubled and were amazed, and they said nothing to anyone, for they were afraid. And when he had risen early on the first day of the week, he appeared first to Mary Magdalene, out of whom he cast seven demons. She went and told those who had been with him as they mourned and wept. And when they heard that he was alive and had been seen by her, they did not believe. After that, he appeared to another form to two of them as they walked and went into this country. And they went and told the rest, and they did not believe them either. Afterwards, he appeared to the 11 as they sat at the table, and he rebuked their unbelief and hardness of heart, because they did not believe those who had seen him after he had risen. And he said to them, "Go into all the world and preach the gospel to every creature. He who believes and is baptized will be saved, but he who does not believe will be condemned. And these signs will follow those who believe in my name. They will cast out demons. They will speak with new tongues. They will take up serpents. And if they drink anything deadly, it shall not hurt them. They will lay hands on the sick and they will recover." And then after the Lord had spoken to them, he was received up into heaven and sat down at the right hand of God. And they went out and preached everywhere, the Lord working with them and confirming the words through the accompanying signs. Amen. And this is the word of God for the people of God. And thanks be to God. Well, tonight we come to a milestone in our journey of faith. Almost 4 years ago, about the second or third Sunday in January of 2007, we began Mark's Gospel study on Sunday evenings. And tonight we come to the close of that study. Somebody this week asked me what in the world I was going to preach after I got through with Mark. But we've been on this journey for a while. The original Mark's Gospel, all the best of the old manuscripts, ends at verse 8. Verses 9 through 20 are apparently a later summary which was added to Mark's work. It's often wondered if the original ending of Mark was lost, or perhaps Mark never wrote more. Be it as it may, verses 9 through 20 hold a picture of the commission of the church. And I want us to look at that a little bit tonight. But before we get to them, I want to look for a moment at the first part of verse 7. The angel said to the women there at the tomb, "Go and tell his disciples and Peter." And Peter. This was the word of the angel to the two women at the tomb. And how precious these words must have been when first Peter heard them. How precious they are to us. Peter, as we have seen, was the most outspoken of the disciples. Peter was the first to say that Jesus was the Christ. Peter had affirmed that he would die with Jesus before he would deny him. Peter had been so courageous and followed Jesus right into the courtyard of the high priest. But there Peter failed. There he denied his Lord. And from there he went out into the night and wept bitterly. Was there any hope now for Peter? Can a person who's failed so completely be forgiven and restored? The guilt, the anguish, the depression because of his failure that Peter must have carried. And then this word, go and tell Peter. What joy and peace this word must have brought to Peter's spirit. What hope and assurance it brings to us. If Peter can be forgiven, if Peter can be restored, then there's hope for me. There's hope for you. Thanks be to God. But the words go and tell, to some degree, sum up the mission of the church. And I want to look at this briefly, verses 9 through 20. First, we see in verse 15 that the church has a preaching task. Go into all the world and preach the gospel. This is a task for the whole church and for each of us as individual Christians. Each of us can go into our world and share the good news of what God has done for us. Jesus healed the Gadarene demoniac, you remember, and the man wanted to go with Jesus, follow him, be with him. But Jesus would not allow it. You remember he said, go home to your friends and tell them what great things the Lord has done for you and how he's had compassion on you. Back in the 5th chapter of Mark. Go into all the world, among your friends, among your family. Tell them all the things the Lord has done for you. Go and tell. This is our task. But the church also has a healing task. In verse 18, it says they will lay hands on the sick and they will recover. Our faith is concerned about the total person. We're to preach, to share, to tell those who will believe and they will be saved. But our task does not end there. Always the church has been concerned with people's spiritual condition, yes, but their physical condition as well as their spiritual well-being. Most people apparently don't even know it. If they ever heard it, they've forgotten it. But most of the early hospitals, if not all of them, were first started by the church. The church has always reached out to reach people at every area. We pray for the sick. We provide medical care where we can. We provide education and nutrition, food preparation, sanitation, and on to prevent illness. We know that God is the great physician, the great healer. We work with God to bring healing to the body, to the mind, and to the spirit of the total person. So go and tell and bring healing to the people. And then we notice that the church has power. Verses 17 and 18 do not have to be taken literally. We don't have to play with snakes or drink poison to prove our faith. But back of this picturesque language, there is a conviction that the Christian is filled with power to cope with life and deal with life that others just do not possess. Jesus said, you shall receive power after the Holy Spirit has come upon you. Paul said, in Christ who strengthens me, I am able for anything, for his strength is made perfect in my weakness. You see, the power is not in ourselves, in our own being. Our power is the power of the gospel, the power of God unto salvation to everyone who believes. Across the centuries, down to this day, we see the power of God at work, transforming the lives of those who turn to God. People are healed in body, mind, and spirit. The power of the gospel, which we're to go and tell, is as great today as it ever has been. Go and tell. The church has a preaching task. The church has a healing task. The church is empowered by God. And then in verse 20, the church is never alone to do its work. Verse 20, and they went out and preached everywhere, the Lord working with them. Oh, look at that a little bit. They went out. They didn't stay in the little group within the building where they were. I think one of the biggest weaknesses of the church today is that we are content to stay within the four walls. And we don't go out to share what great things the Lord has done for us. They went out. And they preached. They shared what had happened to them. What God had done for them. They told the story. And they did it everywhere. Everywhere they went. And then the Lord was working with them. They weren't doing it in their own strength. For whatever purpose, I do believe that the Lord called me to preach the gospel. And I have been privileged now for over 55 years to try to do that. Nothing has brought me greater joy. Nothing has brought me greater satisfaction. And I think the secret is because not only do I believe God has called me to preach, and not only do I believe that, but I believe in the supreme importance of preaching, for it is by preaching, the foolishness of preaching, Paul says, that people come to believe. But I believe God is with me in a special way when I stand behind the pulpit to preach the gospel. I've had people tell me you're different in the pulpit than you are out in the world. Yes. I speak with confidence because I believe this is what God would have me to speak. People say, I know you didn't say this, but this is what God spoke to me as you shared with him. It's not an own strength. They went out, preached everywhere, the Lord working with them. And this echoes other promises of our Lord that He will never leave us and never forsake us. Will go with us to the end of the age. We are co-workers with God. Always, Christ works with us and in us. And in and through the church. We need always to remember it is His church. This isn't Dr. Stewart's church. It isn't Ellen Blagg's church. It's not Bob Benton's church. It's God's church. And we find in the church, as is pictured here in the scripture tonight, a picture of the Lord's love and forgiveness. We find it first in the words, "Go and tell Peter." Go and tell Peter. Tell the disciples, but be sure you tell Peter. Let him know he's included. The forgiveness of God, the love of God. And we find that the church has a preaching task. All of us are to tell what great things the Lord has done for us. The church has a healing task, bringing healing to people's minds and hearts and spirits and their bodies as well. And the church is empowered by God. It's His church. And the church is never alone, for God is with us. The Christian life is a life lived in the presence and power of Him who was crucified and rose again and lives forevermore. Christian life is a life lived in the presence and power of Him who was crucified and rose again and lives forevermore. Thanks be to God. Go and tell it. Amen. God, our Heavenly Father, how much we thank you for the Gospel of Mark and for the privilege of making this journey and studying it for these 4 years. And as we move on to other parts of your glorious Word, help the written Word come alive in our lives. Write its true meaning upon our hearts. And may we go and tell what you've done for us. Not in our strength, but in your power. And we pray in Jesus' name. Amen.